things in this story are familiar to us. We stand at our end of history with a turned-up nose of superiority to the accepted Jewish thinking of the day, that following the law is what saved you, that God had set up an ordered world for us to live in, albeit a rigid and rather unforgiving world. In other words, in Jewish thinking, it was the following of the rules that set you free. We think we have a handle on what God really wants, don't we? From our viewpoint 2,000 years later, we think we know God's mind and intentions a little bit better than did those poor backward people of Jesus' time. After all, we can see clearly that what Jesus was getting at, that people are more important than principles and rules. So we smugly ask, why couldn't those people see it just as clearly? But don't we suffer from the same delusions they did, surely? Don't we think, in varying degrees, depending on the circumstance, that there probably are some rules to follow in order to be saved? Don't we hem God in, put God in a box, a very small box, and limit God to our understanding of him? Some years ago, when I was pastor at St. Luke's Lutheran in San Antonio, I met a pastor who led a small non-denominational church in town. She and I had been asked to serve on a committee studying spiritual practices in the church. As we got to know each other, we chatted first about family, then about our parishes, then on to our ministries, and then finally about our faith. I will admit to you that what this pastor said next took me completely aback. This pastor admitted to me that since her seminary days, as her ministry had progressed, she had come to question her belief in any life after this one. And not only that, she had now come to question that God exists at all. When I asked her what she thought about things like sin and forgiveness and redemption, she said that all of those things can be handled in this life. That overcoming sin and evil, offering forgiveness, redeeming people back to a life in community were all good things that made this life better. That maybe this life is all there is, and that that was good enough for her. Needless to say, coming from a leader of the church, her comments gave me pause. I've often thought about what she said. And in my ruminations, I recall the Jewish funeral at which I officiated a few years ago. I had never even been to a Jewish funeral before that, and so I was very interested in what it had to say, interested in what comfort is given and received during the ceremony. I contacted a local rabbi who sent me the ceremony, and I read through it several times before the service. But you know, there really is no comfort in the service. No eternal comfort given. No eternal comfort received. All of the words in this Jewish funeral rite speak to the memory of the loved one gone, to remember the connection to this person, that sorrow and loss and loneliness are indeed real, but that the best that can be hoped for is that this loved one will not be forgotten. In fact, this Jewish funeral service ends with these words: when we are weary and in need of strength, we remember her. When we are lost and sick at heart, we remember her. When we have joys we yearn to share, we remember her. So long as we live, she shall live, for she is now a part of us as we remember her. You know, this problem of being saved by the rules is not new. Didn't Martin Luther say that if the Pope truly had the keys to the kingdom, the keys to heaven and hell, the keys to the rules, then why didn't he, the Pope, in the name of Christian charity, set the people in purgatory free? But the rules do not save us. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul tells us this: I am the least of the apostles. In fact, since I persecuted the church of God, I hardly deserve the name apostle. But by God's grace, that is what I am, and and the grace that he gave me has not been fruitless. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If for this life only. Rules limit God. Any rules limit God. Even rules that we perceive that have been given by God limit God. Any rules limit God, and God proves to us time and time again that God is not bound by rules. Didn't God create out of the chaos the very definition of no rules? Didn't God preserve Noah and his family from destruction just to save humankind from the earth? Didn't God give countless generations to Abraham and Sarah in their old age? Didn't God save Joseph from slavery and death in order to keep the Israelites from famine? Didn't God guide one man, Moses, to lead a million plus people out of Egypt? Didn't God set aside his divine prerogative and send his only son to become one of us in order to reconcile us to himself? Didn't God give up on being right in order to be loved? Our text says, but the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, there are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered him and said, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey and lead it away to get it water? So in defiance of our rules, God loves us. In defiance of our rules, God forgives us. In defiance of our rules, God saves us anyway. Staring down fairness and justice, God doesn't leave us in our death. By grace, God raises us up to new life, to forever life, to forever life. Go in peace.